910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson on the Columbia University campus in New York, showing solidarity with Jewish students following pro-Palestinian protests that included anti-Semitic chants and harassment.
Hamas issued an endorsement statement of the protesters on this campus. They called them the future leaders of America. It is detestable.
Johnson calling for the private university's president, Manoush Shafiq, to resign. Earlier, Shafiq condemned the anti-Semitic protests, saying they are making progress to clear encampments. Arizona House lawmakers approving a measure to repeal the 1864 law that bans nearly all abortions. It's the first hurdle to wipe the Civil War era law off the books. It moves now to the Senate. A new round of military aid headed to Ukraine after President Biden signed off on the critical foreign aid package passed by Congress this week. It also includes funding for Israel and Taiwan. A security measure also forces TikTok's China-based company to sell its app in the next year or face a ban. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The head of Wisconsin's high school sports governing body says the conversation about name, image, and likeness deals is just beginning. A vote on a proposed NIL amendment to the WIAA Constitution failed today. 31 states allow NIL deals for high schoolers, including Minnesota and Illinois. Use of restraints and seclusion in Wisconsin schools went down about 8% last year. That's according to the State Department of Public Instruction. The DPI's Tim Pirenboom says it happens most with elementary schoolers with disabilities.
Frequent use of seclusion restraint is usually a symptom of larger, more systemic issues, whether that's staffing shortages or lack of proper training.
Pirenboom says most schools report no cases of using seclusion or restraint. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Jeld-Wen Window Manufacturing Company has officially filed notice with the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development that it will begin laying off employees on June 10th. The Rusk County facility employed about 340 people who will be laid off as the company consolidates its production into an Illinois facility. Wisconsin state data shows the county had only a total of about 1,300 manufacturing jobs, so the loss of 340 of those jobs is a major hit to the industry. The notice was filed on Monday. The Old Solemn Hotel building in Cloquet is getting a renovation as the city looks to add to its housing supply. According to a Northern News Now report, the historic building was condemned last year due to safety concerns involving asbestos, mold, and the materials the building was made out of. Officials plan to convert the old hotel into an apartment building with 18 units after essentially tearing it down to its bare bones. The project is estimated to cost around $4 million, but officials expect it to have a positive community impact. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks lose game two to Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks got out to another early lead, but the Pacers battled back to win 125-108 to even the series at one game apiece. The Pacers defensively got nasty at times. Damian Lillard.
I mean, I think that's natural in the playoffs. Somebody comes in, you lose a game, you got a couple days to sit with it, you probably have practice and film, the coaches get on your ass about it. It's an emphasis, you know, to make these adjustments and to come out and make these changes. You know, this is what you got to do to try to win the game. So I think it was a little bit of that.
The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton, who grew up in Oshkosh, says his brother was called the N-word by someone at Sunday's game. Game three is Friday in Indianapolis, and he says he's looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm expecting it to be unbelievable. No doubt about that. I mean, we've had regular season crowds better than what we've played in these last two games.
Baseball, the Brewers lose to the Pirates 2-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight to a low around 30. For tomorrow, more sunshine with a few clouds in the afternoon and warmer, high near 60. Then rain rolls into the area tomorrow night and Friday, becoming breezy as well, high mid-50s. And more showers and storms around for the weekend and cooler, currently 51 degrees.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead ass and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white or gray, devilradioswag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever, only at the devilradioswag.com, because we got bills too.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Join us next time as we discuss non-disclosure agreements. Are you for him or against him? And also Sasquatch. Is he a real thing? And what's he really responsible for?
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. How's it going, little buddy?
Awesome, Crudy. Good to be with you. Rich still working the board. Of course, our fair round is happy, happy days to us all. The Chiron on the CNN, Crudy, we're being threatened with an imminent decision regarding Trump's gag order violations, perhaps coming down today.
Well, didn't he break the gag order yesterday morning before the hearing on the gag order? And then didn't he stay up late last night? My understanding is he was up till about 2 a.m. ranting on the Truthy socials.
Well, good thing he didn't have to spend all day in court today. He probably would have been nodding off otherwise.
I might be a little tired myself today, but not because I was up tweeting till 2 in the morning. Republicans must step in. Trump begs for help with legal troubles in a frantic 2 a.m. rant. Donald Trump begged Republicans to step in and help him wriggle out of his legal troubles in a middle-of-the-night rant Wednesday. How'd you sleep, Dom?
Great, man. Thank you for asking.
The quadruple-indicted former president is standing trial in Manhattan in the hush money case and has already been found liable for fraud, defamation, and sexual abuse, resulting in $500 million in penalties.
He continued, or as Republicans would call him, their candidate.
Their nominee, Dom. He continues to insist in the cases in both the federal and state courts are a political hit job from President Joe Biden and his Democratic allies. Here, in part, is the ranting from late last night from the former president. Apparently a few sleepless nights for this guy, Dom. We have a rigged judge who is working with the Democrat Party and refuses to terminate this case. Now he threw air quotes around it, Dom. Case, which should have never been brought by soft on crime Alvin Bragg. Trump posted at 2 a.m. on the Truthy social.
No, no, man. Old guys like that should be getting consistent sleep. I just think it's not great for your health to be, you know, up rage tweeting at 2 in the morning, man.
Well, it's all the Diet Cokes, Dom. They keep him up. Judge Merchan should be immediately removed and the appellate courts have to take over. That also applies to corrupt Judge Engoron, who knew I did nothing wrong and still fraudulently fined me $500 million while having no knowledge of valuation, finance, or in any way what he was doing. Now,
everybody else.
Wasn't that your defense in court that you had no active participation in the valuation finance or any other way, Trump? Yeah, wasn't that your defense?
Care of it. Right.
Same with Judge Kaplan, who allowed a woman who I've never met, celebrity photo lines do not count, and know nothing about, to get a lawless judge of $90 million. New York justice is in shambles, and the only the appellate courts can save it. Dom, Trump has falsely claimed he won the fraud case in the appeals court, which last June did exclude his daughter Ivanka Trump from the lawsuit due to the statute of limitations, but did not dismiss claims against him or the two boys, you know, Fredo and Butthead. A little bit more here, Dom. The ex-president has filed an appeal of Engoron's judgment against him. And while it's possible he'll eventually win that appeal, the court's ruling last year did not exonerate him or prevent New York Attorney General Letitia James from suing him or collecting the penalties imposed by the judge. A Republican doesn't stand a chance, Trump raged in his overnight post. This is not justice. This New York cabal run by crooked Joe Biden's White House is a hit job on a political opponent the likes of which the USA has never seen before. For the good of our country, it must be stopped. The crooked Joe Biden witch hunts have to be ended. And this is interesting, Dom. All caps. This is how he ends the blasting. Republicans in Washington must take action. Like what, Trump?
Exactly.
What would you like them to do?
Defund
New York? Threaten highway funds? No more ship contracts for Wisconsin?
No, I can't believe you'd ever do something like that and not get anything in return. Republicans in Washington must take action. You know, it sounds like a threat, but I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it. I'm not clear what any Republican, what Marjorie Taylor Greene or Mike Johnson, what any Republican in Congress can do to assist Donald Trump in his late night rage tweeting. Maybe they should tell him to put it down and get a good night's sleep. That'd be a good idea.
Maybe he needs a getaway driver, Tom. You know, part of what's bothering him quite a bit is he's before the U.S. Supreme Court tomorrow, or at least the question of presidential immunity is before the U.S. Supreme Court. And yeah, he didn't get a hall pass, not from Judge Juan Merchan, not New York. So he is bound to attend tomorrow when they're back in court, Tom. And David Pecker's back on the stand.
Back on the stand, yeah.
And Trump's got to be there. And he'd desperately like to go make an appearance in D.C. at the U.S. Supreme Court. Would he not be in the room? See if he could influence a few of his appointees.
Than sitting in the cold courtroom, having to deal with the testimony of his former cohorts in the conspiracy to suppress information and to deny the American voters the truth before an election.
A few more of the swipes taken by Trump yesterday. Donald Trump took a swipe Wednesday at the judge overseeing his New York hush money trial, accusing him, this is Merchan, of thinking he's above the Supreme Court. Doesn't work like that exactly. He's not under their jurisdiction. He's a state court judge. Speaking to Foxy News, Trump slammed Judge Juan Merchan, accusing him of prohibiting the former president from attending arguments Thursday on the presidential immunity and calling it the most important case in many years before the high court, at least regarding his freedom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trump had requested that he be allowed to attend arguments at the Supreme Court about Trump's immunity on Thursday, but Merchan denied that request. Damn, that's got to sting a little, Dom. The former president was also outraged when Merchan did not immediately approve his demand to attend his son's Barron's graduation. And somewhere along the line, one of Eric's classmates said he did indeed attend Eric Trump's graduation. So there is some precedent. At least one in four of the prior children, he went to the graduation. At least one in four. He's like the dentist that holds out. Won't give his patients the dentine gum. Dom, as many reporters in the courtroom have noted, it is common practice to require criminal defendants to appear in court. Oh, yeah, he's defendant Trump. Citizen Trump. although he'd like to go ask the Supreme Court to make him King Trump, because he thinks he's above the Supreme Court. Now, this is Trump. I'm not doing the voice. Should I do the voice? Because he thinks he's above the Supreme Court. He is prohibiting me from going to the presidential immunity hearing, where some of the great legal scholars will be arguing the case, the most important case in many years on the Supreme Court. Yes, very, very important. Without presidential immunity, the presidency becomes a ceremonial position only. It will be decimated. No, you're thinking of the vice presidential position, at least in counting the Electoral College vote. That's a ceremonial position, sir. He's prohibiting me from going. He's a radical left Democrat. I'm sure he's not breaking the gag order whatsoever. Now, Trump also claimed that virtually every legal scholar agreed with his claim.
Come on.
But this assertion does not stand up to fact in recent reports.
Well, I mean, who needs facts? I mean, for real, we're talking about how Donald Trump feels and thinks about these particular situations that he put himself into. It's not about facts, Curdy. It never is with Trump. It never will be.
Some interesting questions that could be posed, you know, for the attorneys of Trump when they stand before the justices of the U.S. Supreme Court. Legal analysts Ryan Goodman and Andrew Weissman crafted a list of questions to, well, I guess that was today, Dom, that they suggested the high court ask the two sides. They include, would President Biden be free to order the assassination of a political rival if the president felt his opponent was a threat to democracy?
Right.
That'd be an interesting theoretical, would it not be, Dom?
I heard another one today as well. Instead of, you know, using that very specific assassination of a political rival, the suggestion was to wonder and put before the attorneys if a president could assassinate Supreme Court justices on a decision they didn't like.
Well, if they go against him, he'd be immune from prosecution, Dom. You know, according to Trump's arguments, unless they effectively impeached him first. Right. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court apparently not taking up the question of double jeopardy. You know, does an impeachment count? It does not, is their apparent opinion, Dom. But one never knows. Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch?
That's about as obvious as a president does not have absolute immunity to do whatever they want at any time forever. Otherwise, we would never have another president again. We'd have a king. The fact that they're even allowing this to go on and not agreeing that this is something that is untenable, impossible, unconstitutional, and could never, ever stand up in this democratic society ever, they still give them a couple of months to, you know, delay, delay, delay.
Well, Dom, tomorrow morning, I got a doubleheader before me. I'm going to be keeping my eye on Trump in court. And then, of course, the arguments. They'll be playing out the oral arguments. We'll bring you some of the arguments on the big show tomorrow. Trump's got a big day in court, two different courthouses. David Pecker, the unfortunately named, apparently immune from prosecution, former head of the AMI and the National Enquirer, going to give
laying
some testimony.
The origin story of the catch and kill scheme.
And Dom, my understanding, they're long-term friends like us. I hope I never have to testify against you in a court of law someday. Come back.
I never do anything wrong. It's totally fine, Rudy. I encourage you to be honest always.
You and Trump never do anything wrong. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789. You want to join? Call us. Oh, yeah. And Trump said, it's an embarrassment to crooked Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, who are duly standing behind it, and the judge is totally conflicted. Totally conflicted!
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the street because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? the Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bust in pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day-to-day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through AI detectors. There's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Busted Pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Special Counsel Jack Smith going to Supreme Court tomorrow talking about this claim of immunity, absolute immunity by Donald Trump. Joyce Vance wrote on her Civil Discourse blog today. We talked about this. I want to bring it home. The hypothetical that she's referring, she's hoping the government will pose an argument. It's a more extreme version of the SEAL Team 6 hypo we heard about in the Court of Appeals, where a judge asked if Trump's theory would absolve him if he used the military to take out political opponents, wrote Vance. Why not take it a step further and tell the court that if Trump has the sort of broad immunity he claims he does, a president would be free to order the assassination of Supreme Court justices who disagree with him and could not be prosecuted for doing that. Make the impact of Trump's argument unmistakable. Yeah, I think when you bring it home and you personalize it, hey, could a president murder you, Justice Gorsuch, if he didn't like what you said, didn't like what you did, didn't even matter. On a whim. You don't even have to pretend he didn't like a particular judgment that came out of the Supreme Court. He could just wake up on the wrong side of the bed one day and decide to wax half the U.S. Supreme Court. And the argument that Trump and his attorneys would put forth to that very Supreme Court is that, yes, he can do it. He could not be prosecuted for it.
I wouldn't off the three that I put on there, though. They're the good ones.
See, that's the big joke, though. That's, of course. The ones that are crying for the fascism and the fighting in the streets and the bloodbath, they think that they're going to be, you know, immune to it. And you're not. As soon as you start playing those kinds of violent games, everybody loses. There's no winning side of that. And when you coddle up to the fascist types, well, the ones closest to them, the ones that are going to get thrown under the bus. Look at everybody who's worked with Donald Trump. Pardon me. Look at the advisors that actually worked with on a day-to-day basis. Who has come out, other than maybe Stephen Miller, and said, this guy's great and he should get another term? Nobody. Nobody.
Well, Dom, I did hear since he started selling Bibles, God got 30 days in court, 30 days in jail, and had to declare bankruptcy.
Is that what it was?
If I had to stepped on it, that was someone else's joke. That was, yeah. I stepped on badly. Dom, this not a joke. Gateway pundit to file for bankruptcy amid election conspiracy lawsuits.
Wah, wah, wah.
A platform of the right, Dom. Gateway pundit, the popular far-right blog, is filing for bankruptcy as it faces lawsuits alleging it promoted bogus claims about the 2020 election. Its founder announced Wednesday though he vowed to continue publishing.
I can't wait to get in the court and prove my innocence.
Dom, since its launch in 04, the site has become a prolific clearinghouse for conspiracy theories about the election, school shootings, and other topics, helping to funnel such flimsy stories from the fringes of the internet to the broader pro-Trump right, thanks to its substantial audience. But all those conspiracy theories have come at a cost for Jim Hoft, the Missouri blogger who founded the Gateway Pundit. In a message on the site, Hoft said its parent company would have to file for bankruptcy because it was under attack from progressive liberal lawsuits. That was in quotes, Dom. Hoft said the bankruptcy filing would help consolidate the lawsuits, shield them from the lawsuits, if you will, Dom. Now, the bankruptcy filing wasn't immediately available, and Hoft did not respond to a request from comment for comment. And while he did name which lawsuits he was referencing, the site is being sued for claims of defamation and infliction of emotional distress by Ruby Freeman and Wandra Moss. Now, those are the two that won $148 million off of Rudy, right, Dom? Mm-hmm. And then he ran promptly to the federal bankruptcy courts. Two Georgia election workers who say they face threats after the site leveled baseless accusations of ballot fraud against them. And despite the site's apparent financial jeopardy, Hoff seemed determined to continue publishing in some form, writing that he would not be deterred from his work in what he called one of the country's most trusted independent media outlets. You sound a lot like Fox News right after they paid off what? Was it Smartmatic or the other machine maker? Oh, no, they've still got lawsuits pending. Yeah, don't
Smartmatic
they,
is still pending. That is correct. Raw Story also reporting on the Gateway Pundit story. The site grew to prominence and saw its traffic surge in 2020 by repeating false claims about mass voter fraud in that year's elections, claims that helped spark the riot at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. As Mediaite points out, the site saw around 1.7 million unique readers in January of 2020 alone. A year later, that number dropped by around 50%. And I think this is something we also need to continually reiterate. This is not just some, you know, grand conspiracy by the losing Republican here, Donald Trump. This is also a big moneymaker. People wanted to hear more about the fraud. I mean, people were very interested in the lie that was being peddled, not just on Gateway Pundit, certainly in right-wing talk radio and Fox News and Newsmax and all those. This was a huge story for them, and you can see the spikes in audience based on this lie and this story that was being told and fed and shot into the veins of the right-wingers in this country.
Well, lying for clicks and ratings, and of course, ultimately, profit.
Profit. There we go, baby.
Follow the money. It's always about the money. Well, apparently, they're going the way the Gateway Pundits go in the way of what? InfoWars. That's Alex Jones's outfit. They also had to declare bankruptcy on the losing end of something approaching $1 billion defamation suit regarding the 2012 Sandy Hook school shooting, right? Yeah, Alex Jones? Yeah.
Huff wrote this in a statement. This is the Gateway Pundit dude. This is not an admission of fault or culpability. This is a common tool for reorganization and to consolidate litigation when attacks are coming from all sides. It allows the Gateway Pundit to consolidate this lawfare in one court for ultimate resolution.
Hell, Dom, they're just following the example of the Republican presidential nominee utilized the bankruptcy court some 6-odd times. Shield himself from having to pay debts he owed. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Come back with us. We're going to pay a few debts. A little pause for the cause, as they say. And then more of you. You can join us right now. 844-967-2789. And Dom, I wanted to talk about a ruling. A ruling that non-competes are non-starters. You cannot have them. Business likes them. Let's talk about it. Maybe argue, debate a bit. More Devils.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin's flagship campus in Madison is slipping in the global and national rankings. The Wall Street Journal ranks it 79th. Internationally, UW-Madison has fallen to as low as 102nd in one ranking. Authors of the UW's internal studies say the UW-Madison gets fewer federal research grants. People who need a few hundred bucks in a hurry can take out loans on smartphone apps, but consumer advocates warn of steep hidden costs. Lucia Constantine is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. There's a new way to take advantage of some popular Duluth attractions. According to a Northern News Now report, the Duluth Passport will give residents the chance to visit the Great Lakes Aquarium, North Shore Scenic Railroad, and the William A. Irvin at a discounted rate. The passports cost $45 for adults and $25 for kids under the age of 13, and officials are hoping it will encourage residents to visit more than just one of the attractions. The passports can be purchased at duluth-passport.com. A historic train that has resided in Barnum for years is being sent away. According to a Northern News Now report, the Duluth and Northeastern 280 No. 27 has been in Carlton County since 1956. As its condition began to deteriorate, officials decided to give the steam engine away to anybody who could supply the transportation to move it and fix it up. The Wisconsin Great Northern Railroad plans to take the engine after they inspect it to ensure it can be fixed up and added to their fleet, which runs historic train rides in Trago. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. 26 years later, Jerry Seinfeld has mixed feelings about the way his sitcom ended. The 69-year-old comedian does not believe in regret, but told People.com that thinking about it still causes mixed emotions. The show ended with Jerry, Kramer, George, and Elaine all in jail for violating a Good Samaritan law in a small town. Seinfeld says the topic came up when he was talking with fellow Seinfeld creator Larry David about the fact that Seinfeld is never mentioned when people discuss great TV finales. Seinfeld lists Bob Newhart, Mary Tyler Moore, and Mad Men as great finales, adding that he feels Mad Men was the best ever. Co-creator David also says he has some issues with the way the show ended. Seinfeld admits to being influenced by network producers at the time who thought since the characters were selfish on the show that the ending should be consistent with that. The ending might not be perfect, but at least they never jumped a shark. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight to a low around 30. For tomorrow, more sunshine with a few clouds in the afternoon and warmer, high near 60. Then rain rolls into the area tomorrow night and Friday, becoming breezy as well, high mid-50s. And more showers and storms around for the weekend and cooler, currently 51 degrees.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever. Only at the DevilRadioSwag.com. Because we got bills too.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Waterworld, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, our weekly Women Win Wisconsin profile from Motherhood for Good, and our weekly visit with political strategist Joe Zepecki.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. Dom's big news out of the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. I don't think I've ever said big news out of the FTC before. But this one caught my attention earlier this week. And this affects 1 in 5 American workers. The FTC has banned non-competes. What that means for workers and companies, Taylor Telford at the Washington Post, my source, the Federal Trade Commission has banned non-compete agreements for most of the U.S. workforce, freeing an estimated 30 million people bound by contracts that limit their ability to change jobs within their industry or strike out on their own, Dom. And labor advocates cheered Tuesday's decision as a huge victory for workers, arguing that such agreements smother competition and hinders Americans' earning power. The FTC's final rule to ban non-competes will ensure Americans have the freedom to pursue a new job, start a new business, or bring a new idea to market. FTC chairwoman Lina Khan said in a statement after the panel's 3-2 vote.
Ooh, close.
3-2. Dom, but the rule change has sparked legal showdowns with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, big business, and lobbying groups, which contend in a federal lawsuit filed Wednesday that it will limit their ability to protect trade secrets and other confidential information. It's proprietary, Dom. You can't know about it. It's proprietary. Here is what you need to know about non-competes. First of all, what are non-competes? Dom, you've operated under a non-compete.
I have.
Under at least two. One, I'm currently operating under a non-compete agreement, so I feel like I have some firsthand experience on this topic. How about you, buddy?
Certainly, and apparently 1 in 5 American workers do. A non-compete agreements, which restrict a worker's ability to switch employers within their industry, have been standard practice for decades. As Crudy mentioned, roughly 1 in 5 U.S. workers operate under non-compete. Non-competes, the FTC estimates, from hourly workers to CEOs. These measures are particularly common in industries such as technology, sales, finance, and healthcare, as well as hairstyling, fitness, and broadcast media.
I know, hey! That's the one that bites our ass.
These contracts and non-competes were developed in the first place to prevent employees from easily switching to rival firms or to new positions. Michelle Hay, Global Chief People Officer at the business solutions company Sedgwick, told the Post, adding that non-competes have been governed on a state-by-state basis for more than 200 years.
What about states' rights, Dom?
The language in these contracts can be used to prevent an employee from going to work for a competitor or starting a competing business, typically within a certain geographic area and period of time after the worker's employment ends. And Crudy, why did the FTC ban them? Well, they contend that non-compete clauses ultimately decrease competition by preventing workers from pursuing opportunities within the same industry and lower wages for both workers who are subject to them as well as workers who are not. Non-compete clauses also prevent new businesses from forming, stifling entrepreneurship, and prevent novel innovation, which would otherwise occur when workers are able to broadly share their ideas, the regulatory agency said on its website. Doing away with non-competes would increase business formation across the country by 2.7% or 8,500 additional businesses each year, the FTC projects. The regulator also expects that the final rule will increase earnings for the average worker by $524 per year and lower healthcare costs by as much as $194 billion over the next decade.
I wonder what the reduction in healthcare costs would be. Why is that? I'm not clear. Let's talk about the concept of non-compete clauses, Dom. Is it a good or a bad thing, in your opinion?
I think it depends on the framework of the non-compete. I can see certainly within a geographic area in a short time frame. So, you know, within 100 miles and in 6 months, you know, something along those lines, not something within 1,000 miles in 10 years. I think those are different. I mean, obviously industries and corporations and people hire people and train them. And there's cost involved in that training. It's not a non-disclosure. It's not that you can't, you know, discuss these other issues, or if you have proprietary information, you got to keep your mouth shut about that. Not being able to go work for a rival firm. If there's that kind of money invested into the position, I think that there should be some protection for those that would make that investment. Now, again, geographic area and term notwithstanding, I would also think it's more relevant for, as I think the FTC is going here, more of the corporate types. I mean, hairstylists, I mean, I get it, but I just don't know that that's necessary.
Dom, I have been touched by two different industries that utilize non-competes. One, sales. I've been a sales manager. I've owned businesses that had sales departments and non-competes in the sales industry. And my thought on that is you cannot restrain the employee, the human. But that list is mine. Those leads, those prospective clients, or those clients that are already on the portfolio, those belong to the corporation. So can you leave? Absolutely. Can you take my clients with you? Hell to the no. That's on the sales side.
But is that up to the client to determine whether or not they want to stay with the corporate guy or go off and be the sole supplier, customer of a salesperson leaving to start their own thing? You know, and that's, and I get the competition side of it. I get the entrepreneurship. Hey, I'm an XYZ sales company selling widgets to ABC Corp. You're not following. You're not meeting the deadlines. You know, the quality's going down. Yada yada. Well, I'm making my money off this. They're not gonna buy from me anymore as a salesman, a salesperson at this corporation. I'm gonna go do it my own way, and I'm gonna see if I can, you know, bring that customer along and sell those widgets. Now, it's never that easy, but that's always how it looks on the spreadsheet.
Okay, let me give you a different example. Other industry where I've been touched by non-competes. Let's talk about the broadcast industry, where we're currently planted right now in front of microphones, Dom. Yep. And it is my strongly held belief, because I had to recruit a lot of different broadcasters, let's just say. In my former role at Civic Media, I had the privilege of recruiting a lot of people to come broadcast for Civic Media. All across the network, we had to fill slots. We had to find local hosts. We had to find network hosts. We had to find sports people, journalists, all kinds of different people. And that was a large endeavor, and it was certainly larger than me, but I got the privilege of doing a big part of that, at least on the programming side. But let me give you an example. Let's say our buddy Todd Alba, who now has a radio show, but didn't have a radio show before he joined the Civic Media Network. He had worked in radio. He had worked in politics. But let's say our buddy Todd goes out and gets himself pregnant, gets knocked up. Now, I didn't say it's a plausible story, but, okay, you know, follow right, me. Right. It's a hypothetical
all
here.
Right. All right.
So let's say our friend Todd, let's say, went on paternity leave, you know, but it's his baby, so test unnecessary. He's clearly pregnant. And then went and worked for one of our direct competitors, let's say. Well, that would sting. And I can tell you, there are circumstances that resemble Todd's pregnancy at this corporation. We've seen this happen. And under Crudy's rules, if Crudy got to set the rules for the corporation, I do not, we'd have had non-competes for our on-air talent. And we would not have allowed an on-air talent like Todd to get pregnant and then go work for our competition immediately after his paternity leave. I would have taken issue with that. I wanted to put some sort of corporate handcuffs on the on-air talent. Now, having said that, Dom, what do you know? Here I am doing a little radio show with you. And I am subject to a non-compete. I cannot compete in the markets we play on any other syndicated radio network. So we can syndicate ourselves more broadly, but we cannot compete with outlets that currently play us. That's the deal. And I think it's a fair deal in this industry, man.
But you signed a deal not as a broadcaster. You did that as an executive of the corporation.
Well, I was an exiting executive of the corporation,
right, but
moving to become just a broadcaster, and the non-compete constrains me as a broadcaster, Dom.
And does it constrain your executive ability?
No, technically I could go be an executive for somebody else. Isn't that strange? But
that is very strange. And what about the term? What geographic area and how long is this a non-compete in, for you?
Well, as you wait, and I don't know that I intended to talk about all these details, but Civic Media has a broad scope, covers all the media markets here in the state of Wisconsin effectively. So the scope is the back of Russ Feingold's hand, as I've sometimes described it, all the stations that Civic Media has competing markets in. So Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Stevens Point, Oshkosh. I mean, we'd be blocked out of all those markets. We can't go work for Heartless Radio and put this great radio product in competition.
You would be blocked. I did not sign any such non-compete.
Well, but you're an employee of this corporation, are you not? So, you know, now you're just talking about freelancing. I'm going to have to put you on a non-compete, apparently.
You better have a big, fat signing bonus for that non-compete. And that's the other side of it, too. You know, if there's compensation for the non-compete, there's no reason.
That softens the blow sometimes.
Oh, certainly. No doubt. I mean, it should be enough compensation if you got to sit on your ass for 6 months that you don't have to worry about it. That's the kind of compensation I'm talking about.
Well, it feels good to be gainfully unemployed, Dom. You were gainfully unemployed for nearly a decade.
I've retired a couple of times in my life.
844-967-2789. Our pal, attorney at law and fine broadcast host, should be under a non-compete. Maggie Dunn, welcome back. How are you doing, sister?
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, guys. What an interesting topic. Just wanted to share a couple thoughts. First of all, in basically every single state, courts have interpreted non-competes that they are only valid if they're reasonably limited in terms of geography and time frame. So a 1,000-mile, 10-year non-compete was basically per se void almost everywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of an interesting point of fact. Now, in my opinion, the places where non-competes are totally inappropriate is for, you know, fitness trainers and hairstylists and nail techs. And these things show up in a lot of those service industries where employees have literally zero leverage and they're not getting paid a bonus. They just become all of a sudden effectively unemployed. So I think for there's certain industries and certain, frankly, you could look at it from an income level perspective where they're not getting compensated to agree to a non-compete and they basically have no bargaining power at all. You look at other industries and they start to make more sense. And the question is the compensation fair and are the terms reasonable? So I think you can kind of splice it.
What about sales, Maggie? I've never had a qualm losing a salesperson, but that client list belongs to the corporation, at least in my opinion. What's your experience through the law, Maggie?
Yeah, that's what I thought was really weird about the response from some of the industry lobbying groups. You can have people sign all kinds of NDAs and all intellectual property is owned by the corporation presumptively, and to take it is theft of property. And intellectual property includes all client lists. Now, if a client themselves seeks out the person who left the company, that's different, and the client can choose to do that. But the person can't take those contacts, can't take those client lists with them. That's owned, as you said, Mike, by the company. The last small little thing I wanted to share with you is I think sometimes the lack of a business's ability to put a non-compete in place will sometimes hurt smaller businesses, because it sort of incentivizes monopoly power and buying away talent.
Maggie, what about broadcast? Should not all the hosts here be under non-competes? Just asking.
Yeah, you know, it's a question about where do the hosts play out? Are they network hosts? But I think when you look at talent contracts, there's an element of non-competes that has to be considered for the networks and corporations that are hiring them. Certainly that is an industry where it would seem more appropriate.
Well, Maggie, I'm glad you just didn't call in to disagree with me for a change. Always great to have you on the show. Don't forget the Maggie Dunn Show, the greatest lead-in ever to the greatest radio show ever, some people say. Maggie, always great to talk to you. Be well, sister.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
Small business owners, we know finishing your to-do list can feel like climbing a mountain, but that mountain is also covered in banana peels. Then, when something new gets added to your list, you're like, nope, I'm already climbing this huge, super slippery banana peel mountain of a to-do list. At Progressive, we don't want to make your day any harder. That's why we make it easy to manage your policy on our mobile app. So climbing that banana peel mountain feels more like a leisurely stroll. See if you can save on commercial auto insurance in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. Right, it takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing.
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines 844-967-2789.
Okay, so I've been checking on the text line. People have lots to say about the FTC banning non-competes. And my understanding is they're going to roll back existing non-competes, with the only exceptions possibly for top executives. So that doesn't affect me or you, Dom. Here is a question, Cam from Nina. Does this mean that Dom can backstab you and work for that righty radio host that sounds like Grandpa Simpson yelling at the clouds? His name's escaping me, but he sounds old and is only ever yelling. Well, that could be a number of hosts. That could be Mark Belling. That could be Joe Giangante. I'm sorry, Cam. I don't know who you occasionally frequent on the right-wing radio airwaves. Don't do so, though. That's inferior product, I got to tell you. Dom knows better. He doesn't have to be bound by a non-compete. There's nowhere to compete with the greatest radio show ever.
Where am I going to go?
Where are you going to go from the top? WMDX texter says, yes, Dom, but Sales Corp paid for the investment of established relationships between the salesman and the client. I'm not sure how you disagreed with that point, but anyways. FTC bans non-competes. Andrew from Verona says, Judy at Epic in shambles. Judith Faulkner. Another texter points out, 6 months, those Epic non-competes are 2 years. Woo. Working for Epic.
Yeah, I think that's probably challengeable. But then you gotta go through the process. You gotta money. You gotta get an attorney. You gotta fight it. I remember years ago, my father, when we moved from the Detroit area to Wisconsin, my dad took a job at Kimberly Clark. Left General Motors, took a job with Kimberly Clark. So you know, big corporation stuff. And when he did that, he worked with a company, I think it's called Management Recruiters. So he was essentially recruited away from GM.
Headhunters.
Yes. Headhunters to fill the slot. Years go by. He ends up at some point working for Management Recruiters. And at some point, as things happen and entrepreneurial spirit hits and didn't like things the way we're going and figured he'd make more money on his own, he split off. And he had a pretty onerous non-compete, which my parents went to court over and eventually got it thrown out. You know, so when you have, especially service industries that are of low barriers to entry, I think it's really difficult to tell someone that they cannot engage in that, you know, very, very basic grip on it, but in a low barrier business to work on. You don't have to worry about, you know, buying manufacturing facilities and all those kinds of things. Talking about people that can go out, pick up the phone and do a job. I don't know that those folks should necessarily be hampered for 2 years.
Cam from Nina also asked me, okay, with that logic, Crudy, should strippers have non-competes? Depends on what sort of assets they bring to the stage, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, they also have folks that are on the circuit, and then you have the locals that are, you know, that are from the local market.
Just so the local college girls trying to work through college, Dom.
That's right. Always, always. It's all about the college money.
Wes from Middleton says, going to have to figure out a way to get that image of pregnant Todd out of my head, though. One more. Travis from Greenfield asked a question. I would like to ask the extremely intelligent Maggie what it means when people say that a contract is boilerplate. Now, Maggie is gone, but I can probably take a stab at that one, Travis. There are contracts, you know, when you look at those LegalZoom.com, what they're offering you is boilerplate contracts. Certain contracts have established clauses, and like a rental lease here in the state of Wisconsin, if you are a practicing realtor, you can utilize the boilerplate, the standard Wisconsin real estate lease, as a member of the Realtors Association. It's available to you. And you fill in the blanks. You know, what's the address? What's the rental amount? What is the term? So you only have a few fill in the blanks, but there could also be some special section, which would be the non-boilerplate part. That could be, well, if you rent my house, you got to pay an extra fee each and every month because you got crocodiles living in the moat. Something of that effect. I'm not sure what the Madison policy on crocodiles is, but we had a rental policy that we frowned upon them. Boilerplate, though. That was not part of the boilerplate, the banning of the crocodiles. Right. Yeah. That was, you know, above and beyond the boilerplate.
Yeah, real estate offers to purchase as well. They're very common. You know, it's the boilerplate being the verbiage and the sections that are in every single contract. So you don't have to rehash it all the time. It's always going to be in there.
Nobody reads those contracts anyways, do they, Don?
No, man.
Like, I'm pretty sure. I have a non-compete, but I couldn't tell you precisely what said it.
What's on it?
844-967-2789. Dom, turn the page. We're about to. And, you know, the Trump trial, it's off until tomorrow. We'll have plenty to talk about with Trump tomorrow. We've got the case of immunity before the U.S. Supreme Court. And, of course, we've got the voter deception case, the hush money case. And David Pecker returns to the stand and perhaps a ruling on the gag order. You know, I've been sitting here on the edge of my seat waiting, Dom, to find out what the penalties. Because last count, I think Trump's broken the gag order 11 times.
Oh, I think he's on a baker's dozen, man. I mean, he just keeps talking.
Here's something I want to talk about, Dom. The campuses, the protests, they're breaking out all over the place. Speaker Mike Johnson went to Columbia University today and called on the president of Columbia to resign. And I'm thinking, you don't have that sort of juice. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We have that sort of juice. A happy or happy hour, and you're going to play a part. You're going to dial that phone at 844-967-2789. And unlike Jake from Milwaukee, you're going to be patient enough to sit through one of our brief commercial breaks, because those are our sponsor partners, and they need your help as well. And your patience, especially you, Jake from Milwaukee. I'll let you go just this one time. More Devils.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Earl Ingram.
Thursday morning, we'll go in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar for one of my favorite segments of the week. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead and responded.
devilradioswag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. devilradioswag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever, only at devilradioswag.com, because we got bills too.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.